Book of Philemon, beginning to read actually back at verse 8. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me, in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So, if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Thanks, John. If you've got your Bible with you, it'd be good if you would keep it open, please, at Philemon. And for those of you who weren't here last week, we are just spending a couple of weeks looking at this short letter of Paul, his shortest letter, a letter to a man named Philemon. And we know that Philemon was no doubt a wealthy man. It would appear that he probably had a fairly large house, because we're told here from Paul that the church met in his home. And he was also a slave owner. And Paul is writing to him concerning one of his former slaves, a man named Onesimus. Because, you see, Onesimus had done a runner, so to speak. He was a runaway slave. He had left Philemon's home, and it appears that he had probably stolen some of Philemon's possessions as well, as he'd made a run for it. And he made his way to Rome, but by God's providence, when he was there, he bumped into the Apostle Paul, and it was through Paul's ministry that Onesimus was converted. And so, if you've read this letter, and you had to sum it up in one word, I wonder which word you would choose. Some people have thought of it as a letter of reconciliation. Others have described it as a letter about forgiveness. I think if you were maybe to ask Paul himself how he would summarize his own letter in one word, then he might say grace. Grace, because you see, he starts the letter with grace in verse 3. And then he ends the letter with grace in verse 25. And really the whole of this letter is Paul hoping that one man would show grace to another, motivated by the grace that he himself has been shown. But before we turn to look at God's word in more detail, let's just bow before him in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet together and to sing these songs of praise. As we turn to your word now, Father, we give you thanks for the scriptures. I thank you for the great privilege that it is to preach from your word. I pray that you would help me. Help me to speak clearly. I ask that I might speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we might be challenged from your word this evening. We pray we might be encouraged from your word this evening. I pray that through the preaching of your word, it would be the Lord Jesus who would be exalted and that you would receive all the glory. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I have often described myself as just an old man in a younger man's body. And as Chris alluded to in his introduction, some of you will know that I have been on holiday this week and that I went to a very quiet part of the east coast of Scotland. And my cousin Ben and I, while we were there, we managed to partake in many what you might call old man activities. And so we played dominoes each evening and we played putting during the day. We managed to even squeeze in a game of lawn bowls. And we enjoyed some walks along the harbour front, and really we just broke up the day with regular installments of tea and cake and chatted about the good old days. But we also took the opportunity to meet up with some other members of my family, and at one point we even met up with my mum and dad and their grandchildren, who are my nephews, Boaz and Daniel. And I've got to be honest that even just seeing that relationship taking place between the grandparents and the grandchildren, I did think to myself that it would be nice if it was possible just to skip past parenthood and go straight to being a grandparent. I think that's further evidence that I'm just an old man at heart. But during the time that my young nephew was with us, there were various occasions where he had to be given instructions. And so it was Boaz, smile for the camera. Boaz, say please. Boaz, say thank you. Boaz, do this. Boaz, do that. And so it went on. And I really don't have much experience in these matters, but I imagine that it must be a very proud moment for any parent when their child starts to do these things without the need for instruction. And so starts to show gratitude without being asked, and starts to show compassion without being asked. And Chris, again, alluded to this in his introduction, but we see something of this in this letter, because Paul, who had become a father figure to Philemon in the faith, he wants Philemon to reconcile with Onesimus. He wants him to display forgiveness. He wants him to show Onesimus grace. But he doesn't want to force him to do it. He doesn't want to instruct him to do it. He says in verses 8 and 9 that he could command Philemon, but instead, out of love, he prefers to appeal to him. And in verse 14, he says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. But what's lovely about this letter, I think, is the tone in which Paul writes, because it's really a tone it's more than a tone of hopefulness, it's a tone of expectation that Philemon will come good here. For he says in verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Because you see, Philemon had a reputation. He had a reputation as a gracious and a generous man. Paul refers to that a bit earlier on in the letter. He mentions that the church are meeting in Philemon's home. And he says, I know that the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, Philemon. Philemon was clearly a man who spent his life looking out for others, looking out for the needs of others. And just as a little aside, the Scottish theologian William Barclay says, isn't it a lovely thing to go down in history as someone in whose house God's people were rested and refreshed. Well, that was Philemon. And knowing that Philemon has refreshed others, Paul says to him, well, now I want you to refresh me. And so he says in verse 17, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Chris introduced us to that great biblical word last week, koinonia, which means Christian fellowship. It's the act of sharing in the faith. Well, Paul says here in verse 17, if you consider me your koinonos, your partner in the faith, then receive Onesimus as you would receive me. And really what Paul is asking for here is an act of grace. Receive him as you would receive me. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Do you know, when reading this part of the letter, my mind went to another runaway slave, or another runaway, I should say, in the New Testament, the prodigal son. I'm sure we all know the story. The prodigal son who ran away from his father and squandered his inheritance. And you know, I've read that story so many times that at times I fill in some of the blanks in the parable. You know, Nigel mentioned to us this morning that you've got to think that David must have prayed for Saul. And I think that that father must have prayed for his boy, that he would return home. And that may have happened over many, many years. And so there would have been many prayers that that father might have thought had gone unanswered. And there would have been years where he could have grown in his frustration, he could have grown in his bitterness, he could have grown in his anger. But what I always find so moving about that story is that when the boy comes to his senses and decides to return to his dad, Jesus, telling the story, says that while he was still far off, his dad saw him. That says to me that his dad must have been looking out for him every day, don't you think? And he didn't force his boy to make the walk of shame up the driveway and give his prepared little speech. No, he ran out to him and greeted him and he kissed him and he interrupted his speech. And he said, no, I'm going to give you my best robe and put a ring on your finger and throw you a great party. We're going to celebrate. That's grace. And likewise, Paul says here, Philemon, I don't want you just to accept Onesimus's apology. I don't want you just to say to him, look, it's okay. Let's forget about it. It's in the past. You can go back to working as you were before. No, he says, I want you to receive Onesimus as you would receive me. Have him back this time, no longer as a servant, but now as a beloved brother. In other words, he's really saying this is the difference between showing him mercy and showing him grace. Welcome him as you would welcome me. And then Paul says to Philemon in verses 18 and 19, if Onesimus has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. You see, the Roman law of the time required that if a guarantee was going to be made, if a promissory note was to be provided, then it was to be signed by the guarantor himself. And so at this point, Paul just takes the pen from his scribe and he says, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay the debt. But in verse 19, Paul, in a subtle way, just mentions that Philemon owes him a debt, just reminding him that he himself has been shown grace. But really, when you think about it, there is a much bigger picture of grace here for Philemon. and indeed for us as well. Because we're all runaways. We've all turned our back on God. In our sin, we run away from God. And as a result, we are condemned under the law. We're condemned to death. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve God's judgment. And so if reconciliation is going to take place, then God must be able to look at the sinner without displaying his wrath. And the sinner must be able to look to God without fear. And so you ask yourself the question, how can that happen? Well, the answer is that Jesus stands in our place. Jesus stands in our place and he speaks to the Father on our behalf, and he actually says the words of verses 18 and 19. He says, Father, if Stephen has wronged you, and he has, then charge it to my account. I will repay it. And we know, of course, that he has paid. He has paid with his own blood. And that is the good news. That is our guarantee. Not a letter from an apostle, but the very blood of Christ. We have been forgiven much. We have been shown grace. So how are we then going to respond in our relationships? Because, you know, we can't really identify with Philemon, can we, as a wealthy slave owner? And we can't identify with Onesimus as a slave. But really, all that's happened here is that there has been a breakdown in their relationship. There's been a very serious breakdown in their relationship. Perhaps you can identify with that. And do you know that actually, according to the Roman law of the day, that Philemon would have had the right to brand Onesimus upon his return? That would have taken place with a hot iron. And the master would have been able to brand the returning slave on his forehead the letter F for fugitive. Or alternatively, Philemon could even have had Onesimus killed for running away from him, for bringing shame on his family. That was his right. And you know, folks, we live in a society where people seem to be very aware of their rights. I wonder if anyone has wronged you recently. I wonder if anyone has deeply offended you. When someone cheats us or annoys us or offends us, we feel that we're well within our rights not to speak to them. When someone wrongs us, we want to make sure that justice is done. Sometimes we maybe even want revenge. Now, unlike Philemon's day, we don't have the right to brand someone with a hot iron. But we can very easily brand someone with our words. We can brand them a cheat. We can brand them a liar. We can brand them a nuisance. Again, unlike Philemon's day, we obviously can't execute someone. But we find it very easy to quickly assassinate someone's character. You see, this letter of Philemon, or this letter to Philemon, asks him to perform an action which would have been completely countercultural in his day. And the message is as relevant for us today as it was for Philemon back then. Are you prepared to do something that is completely countercultural? Are you prepared to forget all about your rights? Are you prepared to show someone grace? You know, it's difficult, isn't it? I think that's why Paul talks so much about prayer in his letters. He mentions it here. He says at the beginning that he's praying for the believers, and then he asks them to pray for him. And he does that so often in his letters. He'll say, I'm praying for you And I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for one another, that you might bear with one another in love. And that's why you need to pray, because that's not easy. If we tried to do that in our own strength, I think it would be impossible. And so we must be people of prayer, relying on God's enabling and becoming dependent on God's grace. But in closing, I just want to look at Paul's final greetings from verse 23 through to the end. And what strikes me here as you read all these names is that Paul was a team player. I was at a concert back in February where a Christian artist, a guy called Michael W. Smith was playing, and he was joined on stage by his band and a choir and a large orchestra. And as he was introducing the conductor and some members of his band, he said, "You know, people often ask me, what is the secret to success?" He says, "The answer is surround yourself with people who are better than you." That's good advice. I might change it just a little bit and say, surround yourself with a good team. Surround yourself with a good team. I had a brief think about whether there was anyone that advice wouldn't apply to, and I managed to get as far as a singles tennis player at Wimbledon. But even then, the most successful players these days, they're surrounded by a team of coaches and physios and nutritionists, aren't they? So I think the advice stands. Whatever work you're involved in, whatever area of ministry that you're involved in, surround yourself with a good team and be a team player. And what we see from the final greetings in really all of his letters is that Paul was certainly a team player. Even with all the gifts and all the abilities that he had, he always just considered himself a fellow worker with these other men and women. But in these final greetings here in Philemon, there is a warning and there's an encouragement. The warning comes in one name, and the encouragement is in one word. The warning comes in the name Demas. Demas. Some of you will know that by the time that Paul writes his final letter, that Demas will have deserted him. Demas fell in love with all that the world had to offer, and he turned his back on the Christian faith and he left Paul. And John Calvin makes this comment about Demas. He says, "If one of Paul's assistants became weary and discouraged and was afterwards drawn away by the vanity of the world, let none of us rely too much on our own zeal lasting even 1 year. But remembering how much of the journey still lies ahead, let us ask God for steadfastness." That's a good prayer, isn't it? Pray for steadfastness. And when you read this letter, Demas's name should just be a warning to those of us who maybe begin to think that we can do things on our own. A warning in one name. But there's also an encouragement in one word, and that word once again is grace. Paul says in verse 25, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And what's interesting about this is that this is now in the plural. Paul has written the majority of this letter in the singular to Philemon. And so whenever you see the word "you" or "your" throughout the letter, he's writing specifically to Philemon. But in this last verse, the word "your" is in the plural. He's writing to the whole church. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And what that says to me is that when you are part of a team, whenever there are other people involved, wherever there are relationships, you're going to need grace. And we actually see evidence in these closing verses that Paul practiced what he preached. Because in verse 24, he says that Mark sends his greetings. Mark, who some of you might know, once deserted Paul. But Paul has clearly welcomed him back. And actually, in his later letter to Timothy, he says to him, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Remember, Chris told us last week that the name Onesimus means useful. And here, Paul tells us that Mark is useful to him for ministry. Paul was clearly a man of forgiveness. He was a man of grace. And so there you have it, a warning in one name, and an encouragement in one word, and that's the letter to Philemon. I hope this little letter will continue to be a challenge and an encouragement to you, and that as we think upon the grace that we have all received, that we may then extend grace to others. And that we may learn to live a life that is dependent upon God's grace. Amen.